But with that, I'm going to have you pull out your notes this morning. And the title of my message today is Just Walk. Say, Just Walk.
Just Walk.
Just Walk. That's it. That's all I want to talk about is just walking. All right? This is like a Nike commercial. Just walk. Just do it. But I read, actually some time ago now, a very interesting story about a musical trainer. And this was a vocal coach. And it was his job to train musicians who use their voice. And he was specifically looking at opera singers. And he found this really strange anomaly that there was this group of opera singers he was working with that, for whatever reason, there were certain notes that they couldn't hit that was well within their vocal range, right? If you're not a singer, you know, there's a vocal range. I can sing the highest note I can sing, and I can sing the lowest note I can sing. But there were some notes in between that they couldn't hit. And there was no, I mean, it was baffling because they had the range, they could do it, but for whatever reason, they couldn't sing those notes. And they tried and tried to figure out what was going on, and they did lessons and different exercises. And finally, on a whim, he decided he was going to test their hearing. And what he discovered was amazing, was that those notes that they had trouble singing, they actually couldn't hear. And what he discovered is this idea that what they had was not a singing problem, but it was a hearing problem. And as I read that, I was reminded of this phrase that's repeated often throughout the New Testament. And it says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." And what I was reminded of is that idea that so very often our problem is not a singing problem, so to speak. It's a hearing problem. The problem is not that we're not capable of serving God and loving God. The problem is that sometimes we just don't hear from God. And I believe that some of us are trapped in negative cycles or sinful habits or behaviors or things like that because we have not heard the loving voice of our Heavenly Father. And just like those singers, if we can't hear the note, we can't sing the note. And so that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, because I would submit to you that some of us struggle with living the sort of life that God has for us, not because we're incapable, it's within our range, but simply because we could no longer hear God's voice. And I want to talk about just that. And this morning, I want to reframe the entire conversation. The conversation not only about the things we struggle with, but the conversation about what it means to even be a Christian. See, I'm not breaking any new ground. I'm not starting some new religion or anything like that. What I'm saying is that so very often we miss the simplicity of what Christianity is meant to be. And very simply, it's hearing from God and walking with God. That's what Jesus invites us to follow him. And I believe that we overcomplicate what it means to even be a Christian. See, when you and I start to hear the voice of God, we hear his loving voice, his graceful voice, his powerful voice, we begin to sing what we've heard. But if we cannot, sometimes we don't. And I would submit to you that it's so important that we read the Word, that we open God's Word, that we can hear what He's speaking to us. If you want to open God's mouth, open the Bible and listen to what He's speaking to you about. But the truth is that many of us, sadly, have trained our ears to not hear God. Conversely, we've trained our ears to tune out God's still small voice. And this morning, my hope and my prayer is that we would change that. We'd say, God, I'm going to take the earplugs out because I want to hear your voice again. I want to not only hear, but I want to listen to what you're speaking to me about. See, when God reveals something in us, we have a decision to make. Whether it's through a time of teaching, someone teaches the word or preaches the word, or it's in our quiet time when we're reading our Bible, or maybe we're even in a community group setting and someone shares something from the word or teaches some spiritual truth, we have a decision to make. Will we listen or will we not, right? And I believe that sometimes we've trained ourselves to tune that out. We've trained ourselves either we either don't go to try and listen to him, we don't open his word, we don't listen to teaching, we don't go to community groups. And that's a bad thing, but I think sometimes maybe even worse yet, we come to church and we come to the Bible and we come to community groups and we don't have our ears open to listen. So in fact, can we just pray this morning as we come to God's word that he would open our ears to hear? Can we do that? Father, we just invite you to speak to us this morning. Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you'd speak to us truths that would change our lives forever. We open our ears and say, Lord, would you take out the earplugs, the spiritual earplugs we put in? Help us to hear you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, I believe that each one of us has to take a self-assessment. We've got to say, Lord, am I really able to hear from you? And secondly to that, is God, when I hear you, am I actually listening? Don't you know that you can be in a room and you can hear something without listening? Yeah. Some of you got spouses that way. Don't punch them right now, right? Yeah. I heard you, but I'm not listening to you, but I hear you. And I think sometimes we can take that over to God, right? Come on, it's true. Guys, you know it's true. Don't nod your heads too hard. All right, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. We're going to read this whole section of Scripture, and then we're going to dig in and break it down. This is what it says. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. Say, God is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. We're going to walk together with other brothers and sisters. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive who? We deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, though, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a what? A liar. And his word is not in us. See, there is a way for us to overcome the dark and damaging situations we face. See, some might say, and rightfully so, that we live in a somewhat dark world. But there is a way for us to overcome the darkness. And we don't overcome the darkness with more darkness. We overcome the darkness with light. And God gives us a way to be victorious as we live this life by not being chained to our addictions or our old patterns of behavior or any of those guilt or the shame of those things. He wants us to be set free. Just as a song we sang, I'm free. That's a song we can sing. Sometimes we sing by faith because God has set us free, but we still live within the consequences and the shackles of what we're going through. And we say, God, thank you that you've set me free. And God wants us to do that, to live as beacons of truth and hope and love in a world that's so far from those things. And we do that by calling sin what it is and living in the victorious place that God has for us. And here's the big idea this morning. If you're taking notes, the first fill in the blank is this. Christianity is not about doing for God. It's about walking with him. It's not about doing for God. It's about walking with him. See, learning more about Jews, who Jesus really is, it's a tongue twister, it helps us to more fully understand what he came to accomplish and what he wants for our lives today. See, the reality is that we need to understand, not just intellectually, but relationally, that God desires not for us to do, but for us to walk with him. See, because Jesus is the one that changes us. He's the one that sets us free from those patterns of sin, from those wrong ways of thinking, from all of those things that sometimes we want to change about ourselves. And the solution is not trying harder. It's simply walking closer with Jesus, the one who has the power to set us free. See, specifically, it's only when I'm walking closely with Jesus and listening to his voice that I can be transformed by his power. And we can only be transformed by his power when we lay down our ways and say, Jesus, I tried it my way for a while and it didn't work out so well for me, so now I want to do it your way. I tried it my way and it didn't work, so I want to try it your way, Jesus. And that's a sacrificial thing. In fact, to quote the theologian Steven Tyler of Aerosmith, Christianity can be summed up to walking this way and talking this way. Somebody got the song in your head. We got to walk this way and talk this way. We got to learn to walk with Jesus and speak the same words that he's speaking. But before we get to that, I want to begin with a question, because sometimes we come to a scripture like this and it brings up questions. And here's the question. Does God sin? Does God sin? Does he do the same things that we do? And our scripture so clearly and so eloquently tells us, no, God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. See, the truth is that God does not sin, nor does he tempt us to sin. Some of us sometimes feel like we're being tempted by God or for some reason, but the scriptures tell us clearly, unequivocally, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And I think that's something important because light casts out darkness. It doesn't work the other way around. Where there's light, darkness cannot exist. See, the opposite of light is darkness. That's it. The opposite of light is darkness. And this is more of an observation about skin color or radiant light. This is an observation about the character and nature of who God is. See, light reveals something to and those things in our lives that we're trying to hide. Those things that we try and shove off into the corners. We try and pretend don't exist. But light reveals those things. See, the opposite of light is darkness. Darkness can be kind of jarring, can it? You can turn the lights back on, guys. See, but when the light shines, it reveals things that were there that we didn't remember were there. And I believe sometimes light is meant to do just that. 10 times does John, in his writings of the Gospel of John and the letter of John and the book of Revelation, he uses darkness to refer to sin. This is not some anecdote about the difference between physical and literal light. But in it, God is he's revealing to us this truth, this difference between good and evil, between light and darkness. See, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Because what light does is it reveals the darkness in us. Walking in the light can be a little bit uncomfortable. I'll tell you something, if you've ever stood on a platform like this with light shining on you, it's pretty uncomfortable to have lights, bright lights shining on you. And I believe sometimes we do whatever it takes to flee from uncomfortable situations. How many of you enjoy uncomfortable situations? You're like, I just can't wait to do something awkward at work, right? Walk around with my fly down all day or spinach in my tooth, right? We'll do anything to avoid uncomfortable situations. In fact, all of us, but let's just be honest, men, especially us men, we'll do just about anything to avoid bad news. Like, I don't want to go to the doctor because I might hear bad news, so I'm not going to go. That'll make it go away, right? Well, my wife has to, like, push me kicking and screaming into the doctor's office. I don't know why. But we subconsciously, we don't want to hear bad news, so we avoid it. We pretend like it doesn't exist. In fact, this might be bad news for someone, but prostate cancer is the most common form of cancer among American men. And doctors say that it's the second deadliest type of cancer in the United States, and according to Men's Health, it's recommended that men ages 40 and above have an annual, we'll just call it an exam. And there's blood tests to be taken too, but among men suggested to go, it's reported by health officials that only 40% of men actually go and do that. Only 40%. Why? Because it's so uncomfortable. Because I don't want to hear the bad news. I don't want to go. And a third of those that go only go once. They don't go annually, as they're suggested to do. And doctors say that if men would go, they would find about issues early on and save pain and surgery, radiation, even death. But only if they get those regular checkups. And women are in the same boat. Breast cancer is a leading cause of death for American women. And regular checkups can find that early. See, we need regular checkups, and we understand that in our physical bodies, don't we? We understand, I've got to go get my regular physical. I've got to go see the doctor this year to make sure that everything's going well. And we understand that, but we also need a checkup from the neck up, you know what I mean? We also need a checkup with God. And coming near to Jesus and walking close to him is like our spiritual checkup. We get under the bright lights. See, because where God is, there's bright lights, there's light, and the darkness cannot exist. And it's something that needs to be done daily in our lives, but sometimes we don't like the results. We don't like what we may see. And if we don't do it, the results can be just as devastating as the physical. Another question some will ask as we get to the scriptures, if Jesus continues to forgive us, can I be a Christian and still live in sin? And this is a question that permeates our culture, isn't it? Can I love God and still live in whatever sort of lifestyle I desire to live in that's separate from what God would have me live in? And what the scripture tells us is we need to stay in the light. We need to stay in the light. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, what I love about God's word is that he gives us the truth and he tells us how it is, but he says it in such a way of filled with grace. He doesn't say, if you walk in the light, you'll never stumble again. You'll never make another mistake again. It doesn't say that becoming a Christian means you're going to be perfect instantly. You're like looking at the person next to you, you're like, yeah, I could tell, right? But sometimes we try and pretend like that's what it means. Maybe not about others, because we see the imperfections in others, but we look at ourselves and we're like, I'm doing pretty good. I got this thing down, right? I'm pretty perfect today, right? And we think we've got it, but walking closely with Jesus means staying in the light. It means we stay next to the light. And having a relationship with Jesus means we no longer continue walking in those sinful behaviors. See, we allow God to change the way we think about them. We allow God's power to transform us from the inside out. That doesn't mean that we're perfect in every way, but it means that we shouldn't keep making the same mistakes. I had this conversation with my son this last week. He was really upset. 7-year-old, and he wanted to help me mow the lawn. And he and his brothers leave all sorts of stuff out in the lawn that we have. We're still growing a lawn. It's weeds mostly. But he's pushing the lawnmower, and he hits a tennis ball. And it's like, and he got really upset. He said, Dad, I ruined it. I messed everything up. And I said, son, it's not about not making mistakes. It's about learning from our mistakes, whatever it is. And as I spoke those words to my son, I believe the Spirit of God was speaking to me, reminding me, the same is true in you, Brian. See, it's not about never making a mistake. It's about learning from our mistakes and allowing God to change the way we think about those things. See, here's the thing that many of us preachers don't like to say, and it's the truth, but choosing to come home to God, we talk about the free grace of God, and it's true that we are saved by grace. You don't have to pay a tithe or an offering. You don't have to give in the offering plate to receive salvation. You don't have to do any of those things to come home to God. Just receive it by faith. Just believe what Jesus did for you. That's the truth. It cost you nothing. But to continue walking with Jesus, well, that cost you something. See, the Bible over and over again talks about this idea that we lay down ourselves, that we take up our cross and follow along with Jesus and lay down our lives. But something is true. It's worth it. Amen? Following Jesus is worth it. But Jesus and walking with him reveals things about our lives that are still dark. And when we walk with him daily, it just means like we find new corners, new crevices, new things that I didn't deal with that I've tried to hide. And I have an opportunity to grow. And whenever the light is revealing something in me, whenever I walk with Jesus, and he reveals something in me, I have an opportunity to do a number of things. The first thing I can do is, man, I can just pretend like I don't see it. I don't see that, God. What are you showing me? I don't see it over there, right? We can pretend like that, stick our fingers in our ears. No, 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 no. I can't hear you, God. Right? It worked in grade school. It's got to work now. But so very often what our scripture says is we use self-deception. And self-deception never starts with us. It starts with others. The first thing we do is we try and deceive others, right? We try and tell ourselves and tell others, man, I got it all together. Someone says, how are you doing? What do we say? Fine. Good. Life's good. Everything's great, right? And it's like, who are we fooling? We pretend like we've got it all together. We use that spiritual expression, we fake it till we make it, right? I'll just pretend like I've got it all together. We want them to think that we're living in the light when really God is revealing things that are not in the light. And the next thing we do is we deceive ourselves. See, I love what the scripture says. It doesn't say we fool God. It doesn't even say we fool others. It says we deceive ourselves. And that is the biggest thing of all that we can do. See, once we begin to lie to others, sooner or later we begin to lie to ourselves. And it's possible for us to live in sin and convince ourselves everything's good. Isn't it? I can see sin in you, but not in me. I'm pretty good today. I didn't murder anyone today, so I'm doing pretty good. I'll tell you, you know, as I walk with Jesus, it's amazing how he reveals things in me layer by layer in my life. There's a time in my life where I had a really close friend that betrayed me. And, you know, as a follower of Jesus, I said, man, I forgive that guy. I forgive him. But many years later, as I was in a time in the Word and something about unforgiveness came up, his head kind of popped up in my mind. God said, you haven't really forgiven him. You started the process, but you didn't really forgive him, because every time I think about that situation, I'd be like, You ever have those, right? You think of somebody, you think of a situation, you're like, I'm still kind of mad about that. And the Lord began to reveal to me that, yes, I had started the process of forgiveness, but I needed to lay it down again. The light does that. As we walk with God, he'll reveal things in us, areas where we're not living in accordance with what he's called us to do. And that's when we have the choice. Will I deceive myself and just say, no, I'm good. I've forgiven him. I said it that one time, right? I kind of meant it. I wrote it down that I forgave him. I even wrote him a letter or whatever. But when the light shines in the darkness, it reveals things in us. And for me, I had to confess it. I had to speak the truth. The final step of that is we can lie to others and we can deceive ourselves, but eventually sometimes we even begin lying to God. Come to God's word and he'll remind us of a truth, remind us of some area that's not right in our own lives, for our own hearts. And we say, God, I'm too busy to deal with that today. How about next week, right? Or worse yet, we say, God, this is a word for that guy over there, right? This is a word for my spouse. This is a word for my coworker. This can't be for me. And when we begin convincing ourselves, begin convincing others, even trying to convince God, although we don't fool him for a moment, that our lives are okay without his grace, what happens is we just end up spinning lies. We're telling stories. Abraham Lincoln once said that if a man is going to be a liar, he better have a good memory, right? That's good wisdom. So the question is, how do we do it? How do we walk with Jesus? Real quickly, I want to get to our last point here. How do we walk in the light? And this verse gives us a practical step that I love on how to walk with Jesus. It tells us that when we do walk in the light, that even though we still may sin, Jesus' blood purifies us. It cleanses us from all of our sins. See, if we're honest with ourselves and with God, we'll see our sins in light of God's word, his perfect standard of what he has called us to do with our lives. Then if we will see our sin in light of God's standard, not in view of our own standard or our own self-deception, then what will happen is Jesus is able to set us free from those things. He's able to let us go free. And see, to find freedom, we have to confess our sins. Say confess. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, to find freedom, to find real freedom, we've got to confess it. Now, the Greek word confess in 1 John 1:9 is this word homologio. And again, it comes from two Greek words. I know you're like, I got a Greek lesson at church today. I wasn't expecting that. But the word homo means the same, and logio means word or the word. And what it literally means is to speak the same words that God speaks. To confess my sins to God is to say, God, what you say about my sin is what I say about my sin. See, some of us have this idea that to confess our sins is to say, God, I'm really sorry. And that's not what confession is about. Confession is to say what we tend to do when we deceive ourselves and deceive others and try and deceive God is we say, God, you call this sin, but I say it's okay, right? I say it's not that bad. On a curve, this is a small sin, right? It's not a really big sin. This is a smaller one. But to confess our sins means that we speak the same word that God does. When we hold God's word and God says, hey, this behavior, this attitude, this heart posture, this is sin, to confess is to say, God, you say it's sin, and I've been saying it's okay, but I choose to come over here and say, that's sin. I want to speak the same words that you're speaking about my life. I don't want to call it okay. I want to call it sin like you call it. It means we don't make excuses or refuse to acknowledge what it is. It's like a counselor who was at a Christian crusade, and there was this altar call, and all these people came forward, and one of the guys came forward and said, man, I'm a Christian. I'm really struggling with sin, and I don't know what to do. I need help. And so the guy up front, the pastor that was up front, he showed him 1 John 1:9. It says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He read it and he thought, that's great. He said, let's pray. I want you to pray, the counselor said. So the man said, our Father, if we have ever made any mistakes. And the guy said, whoa. First of all, don't bring me into it. This is between you and God, not we, me. Talk to God. And it's not if, but you know what's going on. You got to get down with God. And I believe he was right. See, confession is not praying some pious or holy prayer. It's not about having the right words to speak to God. You don't have to have the Christianese down, right? You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to start like that. Confession is simply saying, is naming sin. It's calling sin what God calls it. It's not making excuses or saying, God, it's okay, but it's calling sin, sin. See, confession doesn't mean, as some of us have this idea, that it means going into a box, right, with a priest and just sharing all of our details and them telling us what we must do to be made right with God. Because the reality is that Jesus Christ has set us free from our sins. When we confess to him, he cleanses us. He sets us free. He forgives us. So to confess seems simply to say the same thing about sins that God does. Now I want you to imagine real quickly for a moment that you've been in an accident and you've broken your arm. Okay? Got it? You feel the pain? If you're like me, you're like, oh, I kind of feel the ache. You've broken your arm and suddenly a doctor shows up and says, hey, I'm a doctor. I want to help you. I'll do it free of charge. I just want to help you out. And he examines your arm and it's like the bones are moving around and he can see that it's broken. And he looks at you and after looking, he says, yeah, you need a cast. And you say, nope, actually, my arm's feeling fine. I'm good, right? I can't move it, but it's good. I'm totally good, right? Now, that might keep you from dealing with the problem, but is your arm going to get better? No, of course not. And sometimes that happens in our relationship with God. God will reveal things in us through his word. And it's our option. He said, I want to help you fix it. I'll set it for free. I'll set you free from that addiction, that thing. But so very often we say, no, God, I'm good. I can live with it, right? I can do most of the stuff I need to do, right? Just, you know, plop my arm around. I'm good, God. I don't need your help. But God says, I want to help you with that thing. And confession is saying, God, what you have said, I want to speak the same words. I don't want to use a different set of words. Don't you know what? We can change things with words. Ask any politician a lie. We can call it something new. They're not used cars anymore. They're pre-owned, right? Pre-owned. That sounds so much nicer. But instead of making up a new fancy word or trying to explain it away, when God reveals sin in our lives, it's so easy if we'll just speak the same words. Now, that doesn't mean we get to keep making the same mistakes, because if we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, then we need to walk with him. And when we walk with Jesus, it changes us. But confession is simply lining ourselves up with the word. In John 1:1, Jesus described as the word. And in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. See, lining ourselves up with the word means saying, Jesus, what you say about my life is what I want to say about my life. I've been telling a different story. I've been putting a different label on it, but Jesus, what you've been saying is what I want to say, calling sin a sin. See, Christianity is not about doing for God. It's about walking with him. And when we walk with Jesus with open ears and an open heart, he'll speak to you. He really will. But that's when we get to decide, when we hear Jesus' words, will we speak the same words or will we tell another story? Will we try and deceive ourselves and deceive others? See, as we walk with Jesus longer and longer and closer, it will change us. It will transform us as we become more like Jesus each and every day, each and every step of our journey of faith. But that transformation happens in our lives not by doing more for God, but simply by walking closer. And I think when we remember that paradigm, that my Christian journey is not about doing more for God, but it's about walking closer and listening more to his voice. And it changes something. It sets me free from feeling like I have to perform. And when I feel set free and I find that sort of freedom, then Jesus is able to really do heart surgery, and he's able to take that broken bone and set it and make it stronger than it ever was. He's able to do works in my lives that I never would have thought. See, to stop trying to tell a different story, to speak the same words, to confess what he's revealing to us, that's when we really start walking the walk and talking the talk. Well, that's exactly what we've got to do, because Christianity is not about doing for God, but about walking with him. Walking with Jesus is the pathway to freedom. The question is today, are you willing to walk with him? Are you willing to stop trying and start walking? To stop talking and start listening, man. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we respond to the Lord in time of prayer? Response.
As our heads are bowed and we focus on the truth, on the freedom to be with the Lord, I think some of us, I know for sure me, I can respond. And there's times where our lives get crazy. We're too busy. And we kind of stop walking with God, or we only walk with him for a little bit on one time of the week. But I want to respond in this time so that we can rededicate our lives to our Savior. Sometimes we might be walking with him where we're going to church, where we're reading the Bible, going to small groups, like Pastor Brian said, but I know that I for sure can think of several instances just in the recent last few months where I've been there, but I haven't been listening to God. And I know that he's speaking. So as we bow our heads, I just want to pray a prayer. If that's you who've been maybe not walking with the Lord, or things just got too crazy, or you're there, but you've kind of just tuned out, or it takes a lot, you haven't been really wanting to hear his voice. I just want to pray a prayer of blessing for you and for myself. Lord, we ask and we respond this morning. We want to start walking with you again. Every day, we want to hear your voice and listen. And we know that you are speaking to us, that you are encouraging us, that you are correcting us, that you are just talking and loving us. And so, Lord, we want to be in that relationship with you again. We want to walk with you, and we want to hear you more. Would everyone just say amen? I think we can all do that more, can't we? Now, I would be remiss if, especially after this message, there are those of you who might not ever have started your walk with God. So would you bow your heads one more time? Close your eyes. Give privacy to those that might want to start their walk with God. If you're here, it's not by accident. If you're here and you just decided to come this morning, or someone invited you, or whatever it might be, it's not by accident. The Holy Spirit, the timing, God has been working on that for this moment. Because he wants to accept you and save you. He already has. You just have to receive that free gift that he offers. He's right there, ready to go. He's got his backpack on and walking stick, and he's got some for you, and he just wants you to go on this journey with him. And if that's you, no one's going to be looking around. I'm not going to do anything weird. You're not going to have to come down. I just want you to simply raise your hand or look at me, and I'm going to be scanning the room. If you want to walk with Jesus, the Savior, the one who is there for you, free. It's not about doing for God. It's just about being with him. If you want to be with him this morning, receive him into your heart. Go ahead and look up. Raise your hand. I agree with you. I agree with you. Amen. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you all repeat after me? Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. I ask you now into my heart, into my life, to be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve you always. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Can we give a clap offering for those who receive the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.